Adam Pengilly, morning to you, mate.
Morning, Jared. Loz, Clarky, I reckon you only needed another 10 or 15 metres of Masked Crusader and you might have got the chocolates, not 50.
Yeah, and it was your first day back at the track on Saturday and you remembered how to get there.
Yes, got the GPS out, Jared. I need to find my way to Renwick. But wasn't it great just to see people having fun at the races again and seeing a big crowd there? I must admit, it felt like it was much more than 10,000 people there, didn't it? Just with the atmosphere that was created on track. It was a really party atmosphere. And when Tommy Berry came back to scale on Art Cadeau after the Kosciuszko, you knew it had the feel of a really big race day. The crowd was up and about, and it was a great day to be back on track.
Who did you end up backing into Everest, mate?
No, Nature Strip, Laurie. Yep. Nature Strip, yep. So, yeah, he did the job, didn't he? Beautiful ride by James McDonald. The market sort of was trending towards Eduardo, wasn't it, there in the final stage of the betting. Eduardo was heavily backed in the last sort of 20 or 30 minutes of betting. And I must admit, I was pretty surprised when he didn't lead that race. But obviously, Nashorilla, I think in his evidence to stewards after the race, they called him in for a quick inquiry and sort of said that he might have had a little bit of concern about Eduardo running at a strong 1,200 metres on a really fast speed. And to be fair, the horse ran out of his skin, I thought. He was charging there late as well. So I thought Eduardo ran up to his absolute best. But James McDonald just took that race by the scruff of the neck, sitting outside the lead of Home Affairs. And his biggest asset, his high cruising speed, he's able to put them away in about 50 or 100 metres at the top of the straight. How many times have we seen Nature Strip do that? And yes, he got a little bit tired late, but he'd opened up a big enough break. And he was far too good climbing the Everest at his third time of asking. Masked Crusader, as you guys mentioned, was an enormous run in the race. It was a great ride by Tommy Berry. And Tommy said throughout the week leading up to the race that he's not like Chautauqua where he can just circle the field, get into the outside and mow them down. He's a horse that probably needs to try and thread a passage through the field. And he did that, I thought, to absolute perfection. And very unlucky to go down. Eduardo ran great. I thought John O'Shea with Lost and Running was an enormous training performance, Jared.
Yeah, huge.
That horse was on the back foot all the way through this campaign. To get him to run fourth in the Everest, third up, peaking for his grand final was a massive effort. And complete legend. Didn't do too much wrong, did he? Just probably a little bit underdone going there first up. But all honours with Nature Strip. He's probably capped off his career now winning in Everest with his multiple group ones. And no doubt can't wait to see him go down the straight at Flemington on the final day of the carnival as well.
As far as Caulfield Cup wins are concerned, where do we rank that by incentivise on Saturday afternoon?
Has to be right up there, doesn't it, Gerard? You just stood there the last 200 metres. I was almost in awe of what he was doing, to be fair. Just sort of stood there just clapping, basically. He travelled wide the whole trip there. Had to do a lot of work going to that first turn. But he's just a beast, isn't he? Absolute beast. And the question mark is now, well, it's probably unlikely he's going to run the Cox Plate. Peter Moody's virtually hinted that. But what penalties he get for the Melbourne Cup later today? Greg Carpenter will sit down. He's already got 55.5 kilos. What do you give him? Do you give him 1 kilo? I think that's got to be the absolute minimum starting point. I'll be looking at maybe 1.5. I don't know if he'll give him 2 kilos. He already copped that 2 kilo penalty from winning the Mackay Divas Stakes. But there's no doubt he's going to start probably one of the shortest price favourites we've seen in the Melbourne Cup for a long time, maybe in sort of So You Think territory from way back to 2010. So whether he can run the 2 miles, he's showing every sign that he's going to be able to run the 2 miles, isn't he? So he's an exciting horse, isn't he? I just still cannot get my head around Jared, this rise from where he was earlier this year. Just incredible. I actually went back and watched that Toowoomba Maiden he got beaten earlier this year on Saturday night, thinking, how did this horse get beaten at Toowoomba Maiden by it so far? And he did cop some pretty bad interference in that race, to be fair, and was eased down. But having said that, I don't think he was travelling that well in the first place. So I tell you what, Peter Moody's got his hoof on the till trying to win the Caulfield Cup and Melbourne Cup double.
What about the performance from Terry Robinson and his team to get Art Cadeau over the line in the Kosciuszko? He's got an amazing record, this horse.
Yeah, unbelievable, Laurie. 12 starts, hasn't been out of Cronulla in every single start so far. And we talked about some great training performances there at Everest Day. I think that was close to the top of the lot from Terry Robinson. I know he said all along he's going to set this horse first up for the Kosciuszko, but it's still a pretty hard thing to do, getting him fresh enough to run well over 1,200 metres. And again, another peach of a ride by Tommy Berry. That race was a little bit unfortunate with the interference caused by that horse from Stephen Jones that hung out badly and handled the truth, to be fair, had absolutely every possible chance with that saloon passage along the inside. But Art Cadeau was just a little bit too good, and Terry Robinson's done a great job with that horse training on the beaches of the South Coast down there. The whole Robinson clan were absolutely ecstatic with that win, and who's to say he can't come back and try and win the race again next year?
And how thrilling, wasn't it, with Handle the Truth, the two probably best country trained gallopers in this state, and it was a ding-dong battle there just to right up the straight, and it was great to see. Now, think it over. I mean, Kerry Parker, how well's he placed this horse?
Well, they had the option to go to the Moonee Valley for the Cox Plate, didn't they, Jared, about a month or so ago, and Kerry chatted with the owner, Richard Johnson, and said, OK, what are we going to do here? Do you want to go down and have a crack at the Cox Plate, which is probably a once-in-a-lifetime chance for Kerry Parker to have a horse to run in that race? And I think quite wisely, they've said, no, we'll stick to Sydney and try and pick up all the big money throughout the spring carnival. And he's been rewarded with a Craven Plate win. He's got the Rosehill Gold Cup coming in a couple of weeks' time, where he's going to probably start another short-price favourite. And their pockets align with cash. And I spoke to Kerry last week and said, well, what was he thinking about not going to Melbourne for the Cox Plate? And he said, well, if you're going to go down, he's going to have to go down there a few weeks in advance. You know, they'll have to have a look at the valley, try and get ready for, be familiarised with that track. And then obviously he might be a little bit out of his reach as well to try and win a race like that. So I'll tell you what Kerry's done with his horse in the last 12 months is another great training performance. He's such a nice guy. I'm so happy for him, what the horse is able to achieve. And that was a one-act affair in the Craven Plate on the weekend, wasn't it, boys?
Was it ever, Adam? And, mate, some very sad news, buddy. The passing of Sir Dragon Eye on Saturday morning.
Yeah, terrible news, Clarkie. Just the innocuous trackwork accident at Moonee Valley on Saturday morning.
Horrible.
He was due to defend his Cox Plate crown there on Saturday coming up this week. The clash with Zaki and Very Elegant and Animo. Unfortunately, not going to be there now. And Neil Werrett, obviously, is a part owner in Sir Dragon Eye. He spoke very briefly after the Everest when he also owns Masked Crusade. And just virtually his words were, it's just been an absolutely horrible day. So our thoughts go out to Kieran Maher, David Eustace, connections to that horse. He was remembered as a Cox Plate champ, but unfortunately won't be running in the race this week.
This is from one of our listeners, Adam, from Jez. He asked, can you ask Adam if he knows what's next for Masked Crusader?
Yeah, I think there's a chance they might go down to Melbourne to running down the straight in the BRC sprint. I don't think the Hawks have made a firm decision on that yet, but given the way he's been racing this campaign, four runs in this campaign. So he might still have one left in the tank, you would imagine. And given how well he ran in the Tab Everest, I think they'll be probably considering going down that way. And a lot of the ownership's based in Melbourne as well, Laurie, so they probably wouldn't mind seeing him live and on track at Flemington. So we'll wait and see how that plays out. But I think there's a very good chance he'll take on Nature Trip again in the VRC sprint.
And just one on the text line, and this hasn't been raised yet this morning, but I know there was some commentary on it yesterday. Hero Racing, the greatest game of all, incentivised the Everest. What a spectacle. Villain, the crowd with no horse sense. Punters going wild over the fence while horses were being led back to the tie-up stalls. Pretty scary seeing them spooked like that. And I think that's something just the ATC will sort out. As great as it was with Sweet Caroline going and the crowd virtually moshing to it, the beaten horses which go at the front of the track back to the tie-ups there just started panicking I'm sure that's something that they'll just all iron out.
Yeah, no doubt, Joe. We saw that a couple of occasions, and in particular after the Kosciuszko and then the Everest as well. And you can't blame the crowd for getting a little bit overexcited, but the obvious solution, or hopefully the simple solution, is to just take them back through the tunnel, through the theatre of horse and out the back that way. So, and if you do remember, Gerald, we had that really unfortunate incident in the Melbourne Cup going back many, many years ago now with Araldo, the same for Mike Moroney, who got spooked by a fan or a punter who was waving a flag as he sort of went back to the tie-up stalls after the Melbourne Cup down there at Flemington, and unfortunately got his leg caught in a fence and had to be euthanised after that as well. So I'm sure the racing officials will be on top of that and hopefully get a solution before the next meeting at Randwick this week.
Great stuff, mate. Another big week.
Yeah, enjoy it, Jared, and we'll chat during the week, mate.